I didn't have.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, a good evening to you, and how are you doing this evening? This is Reverend Carl White, and we're coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. And not only are we on Blog Talk Radio, but we're actually video and live streaming tonight as well. It is just a wonderful thing, and we're excited about this. This is a first-time show, and so we're working out the bugs and the details, and I get to hold this nice, handy telephone up to my face instead of having a head mic, but I'm sure you will enjoy the show as we come along. Tonight, welcome to Can We Be Real? And Can We Be Real is being broadcast not only on the radio, but it's also being broadcast right live streaming at IP Media as well. If you can see this, iPerformance Media, if you go there, ipmedia.com, and actually click on the, oh, we have to email it out. Well, see there, we'll work on that next week. You send us an email or join my Facebook or send me an email, and I will be sure to email this live stream out to you. Yes, we'll get that emailed out. We've got Keith. Send it to Keith at ipmedia.tv. It is amazing to be here on the show, and we're here at Can Ye Be Real? We're excited about tonight. We're talking about showing me that God is real, and whether or not you have a story or you have a testimony, a real-life experience, you can call in, and don't worry, you won't be on the video, but you will be included in the audio. And the call-in number is 347-855-8793. You know, Grandma told me, she said, baby, you've got to know God for yourself. And where the heart is, you will also find yourself oftentimes. And so God has been expressed as love in many forms and many fashions. And so many times we find that God is often portrayed as someone who is an old guy who's kind of mean and kind of looking crazy and kind of evil. And, you know, he's making a list and checking it twice. And, you know, that God, I don't know that God. And we are here tonight. We're going to talk about God. Maybe you've got some experience you like to share with us. And one of the questions that we have is, the religious life just about this life, or is it about the next life, or is it about the life to come? What is the religious life really about, and how we're going to get there? And is it about meeting some requirements? You know, we got a bunch of laws, and we got a bunch of do-dos and a whole bunch of don't-dos. And how are we going to make this life so that we can actually live and enjoy life? Because I know myself, if I have to tell the truth, and I'm inspired to tell the truth, I'm required to tell the truth, it is just one of those things that I am held accountable to, is to tell the truth and be for real. And so if I'm going to tell the truth, I remember we used to say and saying that, you know, the old folks would say, tell the truth and shame the devil. Well, you know, I don't think that the devil is some red guy out there with a long tail and a pitchfork. But I do believe that we have some people that have done some devilish things. And so what I tend to do is try to tell the truth so we avoid trying to cover and try to hide. It is one of those things to come to know that God is for real. And when you get to know God for yourself, knowing that God looks beyond faults, God looks beyond accusations, God looks even into our deep essence and accepts us just as we are. And I believe we have gotten to the point where we look for God and we need to know God for ourselves, even as Grandma has said. I'm excited about tonight. You're listening to Can We Be Real? And we're located on the web at helpsomebody.net. And we're going to get to our callers. Reverend Patrick, are you with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am. Yeah, that's you. How are you, Reverend Carl?
I'm doing well. Can you see us and hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. There's a bit of a delay. That's already just good to look up on me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to turn the music down so that we can get that out of there and just have our voices.
God is so real. God is real. We sometimes, in our strivings, in our daily moves, in our daily living, we forget, man. We forget, you know what I mean? And my sister says all the time, you know, we got to, the God in us needs to look for the God in other people. That's how we're reminded that he's in us, you know? And so you're absolutely right. There is a song that there are some things I may not know. There are some places I may not go, you know. But the, what is it, one thing I know for sure that, yes, God is real because he's real in my soul. That part.
My soul.
Yeah, man, that part. And what is the soul called? Can you tell us what the soul is? Help me out here.
Well, what the soul traditionally is, in theological terms, it is your mind, your heart, your seat of affections. It's your soul is what gives us self-awareness and self-consciousness. It's that humans have been portrayed or have been explained as people who were tripart beings. We have a body so that we can have world experience. We have a soul so that we have self-awareness. And we have a spirit which gives us God awareness, or that's the part of us that God mostly communicates with. So our soul is our seat of affection, and oftentimes the Bible refers to out of the heart flows the issues of life, which, you know, denotes our soul. I know that's kind of a long-winded answer to your question.
No, but it's very, very, very detailed, and thank you for it. I totally agree with everything that you've said about it. You ever notice when you're so moved empathetically by someone, by something, maybe a situation in their lives, and you're so moved by it, and oh my God, you just wish you could turn to Superman and just solve it for them, you know, right there, and it goes right to the very heart of you, the seat of your emotions, the seat of your feeling, the seat of your compassion. No, you're absolutely right. That's a great definition, and there is a book to corroborate what you said by Gary Zukav called The Seat of the Soul.
Yes.
Very much what you said, you know, about it. And but it's just that place, you know, I used to use the analogy after I read the book. You know, we grew up in Texas, and we go to see my grandparents and her 18 chillens down in the country, and they see the car coming down the road, and the closer we got to the house, my grandmother would go to dance and just so happy to see us. And, oh, I tell you, just seeing her dance, her grandmommy dancing, she's happy to see us. We as kids, it just made us happy. And that's the way joy is. That's just so when your soul rejoices, it's contagious, right? You know?
Yes.
And
yes.
There are no better.
It's something that where they said I have peace beyond understanding. And so a lot of times when we have issues of life that come against us in such a physical manner, be it unemployment or underemployment or even traumatic things that we loss of a loved one, loss of career, loss of anything. In John 15, it speaks about the loss of stuff and the loss of relationship. But in our soul, if we can only keep our soul kind of like playing the right DVD, the soul portion, if we want to live in a fleshly world and have a fleshly type of relationship, then we will play a DVD that is more, I would say, carnal, as opposed to playing a DVD that would be more spiritual. And so in looking at life and going through life, we could either respond in a fleshly manner, or we can look beyond faults, we can look beyond wounds, we can look beyond wrongdoings, we can even look beyond lack and get into the spirit and then overlook what is going on in our physicalness. And one of the keys is being able to have that perspective. I know that even in your life, you've been through some trauma and some drama, and it's been one of those that I know that I had to deal with for sure. But once we get out of the fleshly side and get into the spirit, then we can have that peace beyond understanding, that looks beyond faults and looks beyond wounds.
Yes, you're absolutely right, man. But you know what? That it is this acquiring that peace. You know, I agree with you, man. This is the peace of God. But you know, the Bible says, "Holiness without no man shall see the Lord." And see, I always put a W in the front of that H. You know, and the oneness with each other. You know, it's like it's what's going on in the nation right now. You got the Republicans who want a $750 billion tax hike for them, and don't want to give the unemployed $14 billion for 3 weeks, for 4 weeks. You know, this is what I'm talking about, man. When you talk about you a Christian and you don't love, you what did Jesus say? Paul said he was tinkling brass, a sounding cymbal. You know?
Yes, indeed. But without love, I'm just a tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal. And one of the keys is to actualize what you profess.
Right. Well, that's, to me, that's how God is made real. That's how he's
yes.
made real. Didn't Jesus say, you know how much we love him, by the way we love one and treat one another?
Yeah, and also it's by the fruits you bear. Because don't pour water on my head and tell me it's raining. You know, one of the problems that we only show love in word, and I use the example of however we feel about abortion, however we feel, the person who goes and blows up and kills someone to protect the
unborn
idea of religion or theology or their ideal of religion, they're embodying a spirit that is so destructive, but yet they would go and kill someone over maintaining what they think is God. And I would venture to say that God is not in that, and that we would have to be more inclusive or embracing into what God is showing us so that we can embody a system of tolerance in a way, and knowing that we are not God. One of the things is that so many people, as you said, even as we've got Republicans and Democrats and the rich and the poor and the extremes of life, and we get to the extremes of life and we want to point out the other and demonize the other, when it's more of an ideology that reinforces the same thought. When we can get to the presence of God in us, then we can recognize that God in each other. It is so key to knowing that God is larger than any interpretation of God.
Yes, absolutely. What's your telephone number again?
The telephone number here is 347-855-8793. You can call in, or you can look at the link, and you can actually see us right here on the video. In fact, we've got a caller, it looks like, from Portland, Oregon. Is this my cousin? Are you on the phone?
Hello?
Hi there. God bless you, and God be with you, and calling in. Thank you so much. I know you didn't have your hand raised, but I saw your number, because it's the same number that my Uncle James used to have.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Oh, I was coughing, so I didn't know if you
could
hear
me.
Oh,
no, we didn't hear the cough.
Are
you okay?
I can hear you, but I was trying to get the video going, but it's not working for me. But I can hear you guys well, and I just don't have anything to add yet.
Oh, you don't have anything? Well, we thank you for listening, and thank you for being there.
I'm listening and learning, and soon I'll have something to say.
Well, bless your heart. We appreciate you for calling in and being there. And I hope you get over that congestion that I can kind of hear.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. So one of the things that, and we'll go ahead and mute your call, when you want to get back in, just kind of raise your hand. You raise your hand by pressing the number 1 on your phone, and then that way I'll know that you're ready to talk. One of my authors that I have advertised tonight is that Marcus Borg, and he wrote a book. It's called The God That We Never Knew, The God That We Never Knew. And Marcus Borg is he's academic, and he is one of the best-selling authors, and it's appealing to non-believers and believers and those who may be seeking for an understanding of God in a modern terminology. One of the ideas that he pronounces is this idea of panentheism. What that is basically it's a one word, P-A-N, which means all, and E-N, in, and theistic, it just means God. So all in God. And the concept of God, it offers an adequate way of thinking that God is not only right here, but God is also in the great beyond. And so the concept of God, it gives us an idea that God is closer to me than a brother. God is closer than any of my friends or my family or anyone, but God is also in the great beyond. And once we get an idea that God is so concerned with our lives, then we can look into a portion of ourselves and come to the understanding, know that God is not really so limited to one interpretation of God. One of the things that I really like to use is the example of David. David was known as a worshiper, and we always hear the terminology that, oh, David was a man after God's own heart. And those are wonderful, lovely images of God and David. But the more important part to me is how God was able to look beyond David's shortcomings and David's wrongdoings and David's idea of being David, being a conquering king. And the conquering king was someone who had so much blood on his hands that God had literally told him that he could not build the temple, that his son Solomon had to build the temple. And knowing that God was looking beyond the faults of David, and David was even one who engaged in premeditated murder. Yes. At 51 years of age, David was cruising the top of the castle when the rest of the fellows was going out to war. But David was into a little voyeurism. He was peeking a little bit, and he saw Bathsheba while she was taking a bath. And the story goes that he found out who she was and that she was married, and her husband Uriah was soon sent to the front lines in the battle and was soon killed. David, of course, took Bathsheba as his wife among many other women. I mean, David had so many women that literally we quit counting, and you can check it for yourself. One of the things that we found out about David is that we found out that he was about to actually, when he was getting ready to die, the way that they found out that he was about to die is that they put a young woman in the bed with him. And when he didn't touch her, they said, oh, my God, the king has to be dead. But the essence of it is knowing that God is no respecter of persons. And God shows it in that how David, even doing these horrible crimes, that David was still blessed. David was able to write the Psalms. David had a heart that was a heart after God's own heart and gave him a way out of a situation. And one of the ways out of the situation was that David went on to say that, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Because God is one that looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. And so many times we see how God is being portrayed as a warring God, a tough God. God is almost like the old guy in the sky who's making a list and checking it twice, and if I get enough done properly and I get my idea of what God has for me just right, then I'll make it in. I'll graduate this class. I'll move forward. But according to Ephesians 2, verses 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved, not of yourself, lest anyone should boast." And the grace of God that looks beyond faults, that looks beyond our needs, that looks beyond any situation and comes into our lives to be the essence of who we are as we can live and move and have our being. I have a question for you, Reverend Patrick. What about some of the people in life that we know have done wrong? And like David, or even some of the people in life that have lied and started all kind of horrendous trouble, how should we embrace that person, or what should we call them out? What do you think, Reverend Patrick?
Well, I suppose it depends on the nature of what is considered to be the shortcoming. But you know, you said something very important about David that I thought was really interesting. You know, God evidently he blessed him. You know, because
yes.
Society might have looked at on them as sins, and they were, because he was trespassing with another man's wife, and they were things that were basically against the mores of his society, of his culture. But they were a holy people, so they were religious, you know, in connotation. But at the same time, see, I think that we perceive sin to be, see, I consider sins to be things that you do that are against the will of other people, things that the law has set aside and said, this is you shall not do, you know. But some things, you know, I just think that you look at David did some pretty terrible things, man.
Yes, he did. And even in the midst of doing those terrible things, it was not so much of what he did, but who he was.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the original time when he was picked. When Samuel was looking at the other brothers, and he told Jesse that you have to have another boy somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they go get that young boy who's on the side of the mountain out there with the sheep and walking around barefoot with the sheep dung between his toes, and bring him in here because he has the right heart. And even in the end of David's life, even when God told him that he could not build the temple, it was listed there as what David intended to do. And it was in his heart to do that thing, to build the temple. And God still honored not only what he did, but the intentions of his heart. And so many times we want to look at literally at the thing and condemn someone for what they did or what they did not do. But God, being no respecter of persons, I heard a song. The young man said that God, he saw the best in me when others see the worst. And it goes along with the imago Dei, which is the image of God. And we know the image of God as we being created in God's likeness and in God's image. And in that image of God, we are created, and that is the part that God communicates with. The spirit of who we are is likened unto God's spirit. And in that image of God, when God looks at us, he's looking for God's self.
Mm-hmm.
And in that God's selfness, God looks beyond what we do. And even the old folks would tell you that he casts your sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and that he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. And then the psalmist even said that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so be it unto you as you have said. When Moses asked, "Who shall I say sent me?" God told him, "Say that I am sent you." Mm-hmm. I am. So whatever we say God is, that's what God is for us. If we look at God as being a mean, vengeful, angry person who's going to take my enemies and make them my footstool, who's going to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, who's going to be with me as a bulwark and go out into battle and to be, oh, God, the Christian crusaders to go around and to kill off a bunch of people, then that is our concept of God. And God says, well, as you have said, so be it unto you, because life and death are in the power of your tongue, and I am that I am. So you have spoken, and so it shall be. Whereas the next person who knows that they have done wrong, the next person who knows that they have fallen off and not gotten up and did the right thing, even though they've had second, third, fourth, and fifth chances, and they look up to heaven, and they won't even look up to heaven because of the Shekinah glory, and they know that God looked beyond their faults and saw their need. They know that they're not really worthy enough. They know that they have the goodness in them never ever really matches up to whom God has called them to be. And so they don't even raise their hands. They don't raise their eyes. And they say that God has looked beyond my faults and saw my need. And in so doing so, God has brought me to a point of love and compassion and understanding. And though I may not agree with those who may do other things, and no, they may not do everything that I want them to do, how they want it, but that God looks beyond my faults and sees my needs, and then that's the love and the compassion that you were talking about in 1 Corinthians, because you wrote a song about it.
Yes, charity, yes, 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 sir.
Charity.
Do I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not
yes.
charity, man, I'm a sounding brass. It's one, you know, Carl, when I wrote that song, it was a long time ago, but I was coming into my personal relationship with God. I was working at this huge church in Los Angeles, and they had a committee who decided
yes.
who was going to be in the choir. And their whole
yes.
thing was your level of holiness, your level of who you were. And everybody that was on the committee had a flawed life, and I knew their personal lives. And I couldn't understand
yes.
why they would even
yes.
be under this kind of scrutiny, because the church is a hospital. And one Saturday at rehearsal, they had this meeting with this person, and the person left really upset. And I say, they didn't have it. They're not saved. I say, who are you to judge whether they're saved or not? You know, the pastor had told us that if somebody said, the Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And he said, if they confess
yes.
with their mouth, he could believe they believe it in their heart until they prove otherwise, they are saved.
Yes.
And I went home and read that was the 13th chapter of Corinthians. And I sat
yes.
down and I wrote that song in one setting. In one setting, because it was...
And that's how the Holy Spirit works through us. And I know the United Church of Christ, they have a saying that says that God is still speaking. God is still speaking. My question is tonight to those of us who are listening, and whether you listen to this later or you hear it at another date, if God is speaking, then who is listening?
Yeah, but you know what? He's the same thing he says to you, he says to them, he says to us. But like you say, who is listening, man? We're
yes,
not...
who's listening? And,
but how
and
do you
who's
know the
going
voice to take... How do you know the voice of God? Can you explain that to us? How do you know when is God talking and it's not your motivation? Huh?
Yeah, and how do you recognize the voice of God? How do you recognize the scent, the hint?
Mm-hmm.
When Moses he wanted to see God's face, and God hit him in the cliff of a rock, and he says no one could see my face.
Mm-hmm.
Now he doesn't say he doesn't seek my face,
mm-hmm.
but in the church we always hear to seek his hand to provide provision for our future, our family, our finances, and all the fun stuff. But seeking God's face. Now, that is a whole nother question of knowing God for whom God is as opposed to what God can give us.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is not a magician in a bottle waiting for you to rub him the right way, you know, so I can come on out and give you a genie blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's not God. If you want to see a magic like that, then you need to go to the circus. But when we come to God, first of all, those that worship and seek God first must believe that God is. And in so connecting with the essence of who we are internally, if we just start to look at where the God is in us, if we just sit down and ask the question, who am I? And what am I doing here? And what is my purpose? And why am I here? Am I here just to enjoy the fruit of fine living in the finest of places and consume all of I want, my desires, even what is it that God has called me to be? And even though I may have confessed Christ and believe wholeheartedly the confession of faith, but I never felt safe, even though I say I'm saved. Why? Because we look at God as the same way we look at a schoolmaster, or we look at God as one of the examples that I use that's totally outdated in the Bible, that they tell you that be aware that God is going to come as a thief in the night. Well, Paul wrote those over 2,000 years ago. And nobody's concerned about a thief that's coming in the year 4,000. Hello, somebody.
Okay. At all. Who wants a thief to come?
So right. I mean, the essence of the metaphor, the simile of a thief is one that is immediate threat. And that's why we have alarm systems that we turn on, and they need to be on currently. And so the essence of the argument is that if God is sneaking around trying to sneak up on us, then God must not be God, because God knows all and all of everything. And God, even as you said, if I have not love, God has been represented as love in the past, and God has been represented in love as our hearts. But your question is, how do I know the voice of God? How do I know that it's God speaking to me and not them pork chops and collard greens?
Ooh, I got some downstairs I need to go get as soon as this is over. But
how do I know that God is speaking through me? And I believe my sister Edna, she wants to get in. Now I see her hand raised. And one of the things that I like to say before I bring Edna on is that we know God personally and in our spirit. It's almost when God gives me an idea or a notion, then it's not something that I hear audible in my voice. Yet it speaks to my spirit.
Yeah.
So it's not a sound that I can go and just record, but I know it to be as real as rain. It's like when you're sitting on the beach and the sound of many waters, or you're sitting there and someone is near at their deathbed and they're telling you some of their final words, and you can know that it's true, that it's true, that it's true, that the essence of it is when a newborn baby looks at you and smiles, and it calms your fears and brings you back to where the essence of life is. One of the ways that I know the voice of God is, what gives me ultimate meaning? What is my primary concern? What gives me understanding of seeking myself? And because that's in line with what Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within.
Yes, but you said something last week, and I've never forgotten about it because I've heard you say it before. You said, what is the sound of the genuine?
That's how
I know you got your other caller there. I just wanted to say that's one way to know the voice of God, the sound of the genuine. But go ahead and get your other caller.
Yes. Come on, Edna, are you there?
Yes, I am. Excuse me for my hoarseness. But when you talk about how do you know the voice of God?
Yes.
Now, the only thing I can say is how I found out, how I know what the voice of God is. And I believe it's just like many things with humans, that it's different ways with different people, because you have to have different ways of getting different people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
So God uses different ways to get our attention. It may be a tickle. It might be a tragedy. It might be there's various ways to get attention. Now, in my case, when I finally made the decision to really be serious about my spiritual life, I could have cared less whether someone's what the condition of someone's soul was. If somebody I thought was bad or terrible or a sinner, I just wish they would go straight to hell. I didn't care. If you were bad, I believe, now, sure, I did bad things, but I would just say,
I guess,
well, forgive
was
me,
on
Lord.
That list,
I'll,
but go ahead.
I just say, forgive me, Lord. I'll just try to do better. But when I really became serious about my walk, I'd heard over the years different people say, you've got to get in the Word. You've got to get in the Word. And I said, oh, but it's boring. Oh, I don't understand that. Oh, Bob. But finally, I let go of the excuses. I got two or three different Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
Someone made me a gift of a study Bible. And I started reading, and I started praying for revelation. And one of the things I found is that God had been talking to me all the time. That I had been hearing his voice since childhood.
Mm-hmm.
They call it intuition.
Mm-hmm.
They call it all kinds of things. Mother wit.
Yes.
They call it all kinds of things. But I found that it was the voice of God. And what the voice was telling me wasn't always what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
But it was always the truth. Uh-huh. It was always the truth, whether
mm-hmm.
I wanted to face it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually, I developed a way. When thoughts would come into my head, I have a certain way of praying, of saying, Lord, is this you or is this me?
Mm-hmm.
And when you really believe in God, you have to get used to walking with the supernatural. Because there's so many things that you'll never be able to explain.
But you know what, like, though? When you say the supernatural, see, that's all mysterious, and it frightens some people because they don't understand it. But they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So while it might seem a little, what's the word I want to use, mystical, it really isn't, because it's the truth. It's the truth. The truth witnesses in your soul, as Carl and I had discussed earlier, then your body knows the sound of the genuine.
Yes.
Do you follow me?
Yes.
You understand, Carl? Do you follow
me?
You understand what I'm saying? It's like sometimes I'll be so moved to tears and something, but I know that that's the love of God in my heart for what I'm feeling. He allows me to go to emotion, you know?
I truly started looking at God said, the word says, love your enemies. Now, do you know anybody who in their own humanness can love someone who just killed someone they loved or stole something from them or fired them unfairly or was abusive to them? No. But do you know that you really, through God, God can change your heart? So that all
you feel is
sadness that person isn't the person that they could be.
Mm-hmm.
He really can change your heart.
I think it's important to know that when we are talking about God, that it's more than goose pimples. It's more than an emotion. It's the essence of life in such a way that God consciousness is beyond our rigorous theological investigation and reasoning. It is the ultimate driving force that tells us, even though this person has done me wrong, And even though this person has hurt me, I mean, it's the essence that Gandhi manifested in order to bring the British government out of not only South Africa, but India as well. It's the essence that the was manifest in the presence of those who marched with the civil rights leaders of Dr. King and Rosa Parks and Hosea Williams and so many countless others. It's the essence of life when they told you, when they slap you one time, turn your face and let them slap you again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like you say, it takes a God to give us that consciousness.
Yes.
It takes a God to look at someone who's broken and wounded and confused, and even though I have my priestly garments on and I'm of an orthodox position, even though I have all of those things, but yet and still something in me tells me to go out of my way and help that person. Witness one time, you shared something with me, Edna, when you were on the bus. Someone had came up to you, and you were called, I think it was Apple. What was it about?
Which incident?
You remember the Apple situation? You shared your food.
Oh,
that you wanted to.
No, I gave the person a banana.
Right.
Yes.
The time. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that became a banana ministry for you.
Yeah. I mean, I just, and that just came from inside. You know,
yeah.
I love bananas.
Uh-huh.
And so I had just bought these bananas.
Uh-huh.
And something told me, which I called the Holy Spirit, told me,
yes,
give this man a banana. And it,
yes,
just seemed so weird. And I'm saying all this in my head. Well, what if they don't want it? Well, what if,
yes,
all these little things? Well, I just did it. And the person took it and then looked at me and said, thank you so much. I didn't have time to eat breakfast this morning. I had to leave, get out early.
Okay, well, something is in my spirit right now, and my brother Bobby just called in from Alaska, and I'm going to bring him in next. But and I want to speak to this and kind of address it, because many people are struggling financially and economically right now. So the question is, where is God when I'm suffering? Where is God when I'm in pain?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think God's the same place he is when you wasn't suffering.
Hey.
That's a good one. That's true.
You always call.
Yes.
But see, the thing of it,
that's
is
scripture.
Yeah. But we do it in our suffering. I know when I was assaulted, man, I tell you, it was hard. It was hard for me to want to believe. You know what I mean? Lord, what did I do to bear such suffering? And it took me 5 years.
Yes.
To get over myself being angry with God and not realize until that day he came to me and says, you know, my grace is sufficient. This is allowed to happen.
And, you know, some people even today, right now, they're having trouble with believing in the church. You got churches filing bankruptcy. You've got all types of illicit behavior going on in the name of God. And some people are literally just burned out. So how is it that when I'm in the fire of affliction that God, it seems to be not there? What's the essence of that? Bobby, why don't you get in on this one?
You know what, I can only hear one thing, and I know several years ago we talked about it's a James thing. It's a James thing. You got to understand something, that no matter what's going on, you need to count it all joy. But it's not even only that. You said, where is God during my suffering? You got to understand that the test and trials, if it had not been the test, you wouldn't have the testimony. If it wasn't for the mess, you can give the message to the next person coming behind you. You see, these things that are breaking you down are building you up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not a breakdown. Yes, I got to suffer. If everything is sunshiny and we got the sun all the time and the tropical beach, we can never appreciate when the storms come. It's the storm fronts that build you for turbulent situations that arise later on in your life.
You better preach.
Mm-hmm. It's the elevation of what I had to fall. You see, it's about, wait a minute, I believe Donnie said this, McClurkin said, we fall down, but we get up. But the problem with that song is, and I had to take it another step with, yes, I fell down because I'm still pressing toward a mark. I needed to stumble.
Yes.
My knees had to go ahead and get scraped. I had to have some blood to come out my knees because I'm crawling for a mission. If I didn't endure the pain, I wouldn't appreciate the pain. When you said that, Brother Carl, you tapped into something. I felt a quickening. And the sister said, I believe it was the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I feel chills up my spine because I look back at so many times. If it had not been for that, if it had not been for that, where would I be where I am right now? It took all that.
Well,
I think back. I thank God. I look back for some time. Wait a minute. I'm losing myself here real quick because I could almost get a step in here just on that. That's good enough to run by.
Yes.
There was those sufferings that made me who I am right now. I thank God. Oh, my God. I thank God for the suffering.
Because
I can come back and see the brother or the sister behind me that is going through the struggle, but I can get some news for you. This is how you overcome. But better yet, let me take it a little bit further. That little suffering you had to go through, now when you really get a real good storm, it was all that made you able to stand against it. What, brother? I got to go back to McClurkin and stand against it. You see, I wouldn't have been able to stand if I had a little, wait a minute, hold up. Let's go way back. Resistance training. When we go into the gym, what did Jake say? I've got to build my muscles, so I've got to endure some pain. Oh, my goodness. Y'all ain't feeling me right there. I'm by myself in this room.
Even Paul had said, consider not the sufferings that you are going through. Compare it to the glory. And it's easy for God to say that these present sufferings are a light affliction because God is God, and God is omnipotent, and God is omniscient, and God is all-knowing, and God is all-powerful, and God is everywhere at the same time. So it's easy for God to say that it is a light affliction, but when we can move out of the flesh, as we started on this conversation, and move into the spirit, then we can say, yes, I will count it all joy, because even going through the suffering and going through the afflictions and going through the furnace and the fire and going through the lack and going through the trouble and going through the temptation and going through even our desires, when we can get involved in those situations to the point of knowing that God is working it together, all things for my good, that is when God speaks to our soul, and then we can walk that thing out in our walk, in our body, in our talk, and your body becomes, hallelujah, you become a living testimony, see, and then that's the testimony that breaks the yokes of bondage, that so many people find themselves so attached to material things. Oh, I got to tell on myself. I told my wife the other day, and some of y'all might find this quite useful, I said, baby, let me tell you, you did not marry the man of your dreams.
Mm.
And she looked kind of funny, you know. And then I said, and I didn't marry the woman of my dreams either. We married each other. And since we married each other, let's make it work. Because anybody can quit. When the fire gets hot, when the emotions have run their course, when the wedding and the honeymoon are gone and you lost the T-shirt, the hat, and the matching tennis shoes, baby, and now you got to deal with some sneaky stuff. You got to deal with some stuff about life or how we're going to make it through and how we're going to get through these and how we go. And you know the trouble. The kids, you don't give me enough time, and we ain't got enough money, and all this regular stuff. So we have the same problem, even though you take a picture perfect, but these light afflictions that we're going through, if we can just get into the spirit of those things and knowing that fire is burning out the dross of a superficial relationship that bonds us together for time, and it goes beyond a superficial ideal of I do and I will and all of those kind of things, but it gives you the perseverance. And I think that's what God is bringing out in us when we there's a certain amount of affliction that is redemptive. Yes, yes, yes. It redeems us from being crybabies.
I have found that we in the United States can really be crybabies.
Jesus.
I can truthfully say that I probably was one of the biggest. Only I would cry in silence. I didn't want anybody to know how whiny I was. So I wouldn't whine. But I was whining inwardly. Why not this? Why not that? But then if you live long enough and you go through enough trial and tribulation, then you have to start seeing, I need to be grateful.
Yes.
I need to be grateful and realize how blessed I am to have been born where I was at the time that I was. There are some places, now I don't know how old everybody is, but there are some places in the world where the life expectancy isn't as long as ours. I mean, some places in the world where they sit women my age by the road because they're so old and worn out and useless by that time because they worked so hard or had so many babies that they were sick. I mean, here we are. Here we are blessed to have even the poorest of us have more than some of the richest of others in other places in the world. And all we need to do is share Jesus. That's what we need to do. And be grateful what we do have. Be grateful that most of the time, if children are born, they're going to be born pretty healthy. Be grateful that we can pick up a phone and talk. Be grateful that if we get sick, we'll have access to medical care. Be grateful that, for instance, in Portland, the people, the street people on here, some of them out here, some of them have weight problems because the food is so plentiful. So that's one of the things that we have to look at is being grateful, because when it's gone, it's gone. We have to be grateful.
Carl, I wanted to call. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello? Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, I just wanted to say this is all tying back to your message, your word about David. God blessed him because, you said, because of his intent, because of the intent of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's the same thing that you're saying, you and your wife. It's the intent. You were not her dream. She's not your dream, although I remember you telling me she was your dream. So she's listening. He's just pulling your leg right now. Okay.
Definitely a match made in heaven, I tell you that.
Yeah,
but,
I'm just saying, but
go
God looks at the intent. And the intent, man, that'll get you through a whole bunch of, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring that in and remind you that you had said it, you know?
It's amazing that how God uses us to learn ourselves, even this broadcast tonight. And I want to thank IP Media and my good buddy Keith Williams. He's working behind the scene. All y'all give him a big roof, roof. Amen. Don't do the woo-woo thing. I'm sorry. He's working behind the scenes and keeping us looking good and sounding good, and it's amazing that we've done this far. But we came together, as both of us, our paths came together over at Candler School of Theology, and God has nurtured and kept us working on each other, even refining each other to the point where we are tonight. And I thank God for Keith Williams. I let it be told across this world, that guy's an all right guy. Amen, amen, and amen. But this is my point, and we're coming down to the last few minutes, and I want to give each one of you a good minute to go ahead and say your final thoughts, and we'll bring it on home because we got about 5 minutes to go. So go ahead, Bobby, you could finish on out. Take about a minute and close us out.
Real quick, came in late, but I can tell you one thing that I got from it. You've been dipped in the fire, but you'll come out as pure gold. No matter what you're going through, there's a blessing on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can give you right there. That's all I feel in my spirit. There's a blessing on the end.
Yes, yes,
if you can make it through the fire. But some, it's so easy to get discouraged in the midst of the fire. And it's almost
yes.
like the symbolic thing of Daniel in the lion's den. They say he slept on the lions on top of him. It's being able to have peace, that peace of God
yes.
that we talked about earlier, Carl, that passes all understanding. And if you can find
yes.
that, if you can get to that place, and meditation is one place to help keep you there. That's one thing we need to learn.
Amen.
We need to stay before the Lord. And they always on our knees or whatever. We take 15 or 20 minutes a day, sit down in the bed, wherever you at, and focus your mind. Don't think of nothing but the love of God, the peace of God. Man, I'm telling you, you can get through a whole lot of things, but we're not taught that, so we don't have peace. And if you don't have peace, you don't have very much because it's difficult. You're not stable. You cannot think. You know, it destabilizes
yes.
you. You know, so
Amen.
That's my word to the people, and God bless everybody. You know, thank you, Carl, for letting me be a part again.
Oh, yeah, always, always.
And I would just
say. And my prophetess, Edna.
Be willing to listen to God's voice.
Yes.
He speaks to all of us.
Right.
We all hear the voice of God, but we have to be willing because many times the voice tells us to do things we don't want to do. And
yeah.
to go places
right.
we don't want to go. So
yeah.
then we just
yeah.
cut that voice off. Oh, I don't hear his voice. But we do. So be willing.
Yes, yes,
and
yes,
thanks,
yes.
Carl, for
all
having
right,
this
sweetie.
Program.
Thank you. Amen, amen. And we thank you all for listening and participating in our show tonight and all of our guests that have called in and shared their words of wisdom and understanding and peace and love, because it's only in community that we are brought better. We are made better. We need each other. Just to show you how much people need other people is that we'll work all year round on our jobs and say, oh, I got to get a vacation to get away. And the first thing we'll do, we'll take a vacation and go where thousands of other people are, on the beach or on the cruise or to Disneyland or someplace like that. And so we need people in order to bring us together. We're brought together for a reason, for a season, and for a purpose. And so it's only when we get to the point of knowing who we are personally, once I can understand me, then I can learn to love myself. And until I love myself, I'm not going to love other people. And my daddy had a prayer. He said, oh, Lord, help me to understand myself, because that is the key. Is as we go through this life, we get to know that the Lord of my life is my strength and my redeemer. The Lord is my life and my strength and my redeemer. And so I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be something that is beyond my control. All I have to be is who God called me to be, and that's the best Carl White that ever came on this planet. And that's all that you have to be, too, is be the best you. Be the best you at being yourself and get to know the God that is in you. Is God knowable? I say yes, because you're created in the image and the likeness of God. You want to get to know God? Get to know you in prayer, in quietness, and in meditation. The Bible says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. This is Reverend Carl White. We're signing off now. We'll be back next week. Look me up on Facebook. Send me a request. Facebook / Reverend Carl, REV.KARL, or go to my website, helpsomebody.net. We just thank you. God bless you. God keep correct. God order your steps. And no matter what you're going through in life, if you never stop, if you never stop when you're going through, soon what you're going through will be right behind you. It's always a pleasure to be here and to share the word of God. We thank you, and may God bless you and keep you as we go through this life. In Jesus' name. One of the things I also want to say, too, if you get a chance, go see Color Girls. It's amazing. This is a book, and they've got the movie out. This is one of the original copies. I saw the movie, and with Tyler Perry, did an excellent job. And one of the things that it's a very tough movie, but I just want to share this with you in the last few seconds. It said, he held me in the breeze and made the dew the dawn dew, that chill at daybreak. The sun wrapped me up, swinging rose light everywhere, and the sky laid over me like a million men. I was cold, I was burning up a child, and endlessly weaving garments for the moon with my tears. And I found God in myself, and I loved her. I loved her fiercely. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Hi. See you later. Thank you very much. Good. Whoa, boy. Hey, baby.